usually on the fifth Sunday, our elders have allowed me the opportunity to go and to visit sister congregations, to fellowship with them, and to get to know a lot of them. In fact, the reason we have the blessing that we have so many of our sister members from sister congregations here is because that's always been a healthy practice that we've had, not only myself, but they as well. But one of the blessings that's come from that is the brother who now will be speaking to us tonight. Brother Matthew Montgomery from the Northern Oaks Church of Christ is the father of Tyler Montgomery, the young man who's been here many times. I am truly honored to be able to call this brother my friend. He's a brother who is a deacon at the congregation, and he is the deacon that is over evangelism, and I can attest how passionate he is when it comes to spreading and sowing the seed of the gospel. He's accompanied tonight by his lovely wife, Sister Catherine Montgomery, and without taking much time from him, brother, preach the truth.
All right, before I start, I just want to thank you all and the elders for allowing me the opportunity to give this lesson. Please turn with me to Numbers 14:24. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. I believe this individual, Caleb, can help us with the topic I have chosen. When is it enough? This can be taken in many different ways, but the way I want to talk about it is, are we doing enough for God by our standards or by God's standards? This is the real question. How many of us have a zeal for our Heavenly Father, but in his accordance with the rest of the world and not with the accordance of God's word? In Romans 10:2, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. How can we correct this lack of knowledge? We can correct this by going to our Bibles, giving the Holy Scriptures the attention that is deserved, by studying and meditating on God's word. This is how we do away with this ignorance, that we may gain the proper knowledge and understanding that we need to be completely obedient to our God and follow him fully, and not hope we are getting by with just doing enough. So I want us to look at three things: what is enough, God's view on enough, and the danger of the mindset of enough. Let us begin. Enough, defined by the American Heritage Dictionary, is sufficient to meet a need or satisfy a desire, adequate. Enough looks like a certain mark that is to be met, a goal or a standard set up by or for an individual. Now, with this definition in mind, how should we determine what is adequate or satisfactory in doing God's will? What is enough? What if by our desires was to do the least possible? Would that be adequate? And what if we thought, I did more than him? I did more than that person. Is that adequate? These are worldly mindsets at one time we could have been okay with. We might have thought it was just enough to believe in God, not go to church, and not know his word. And our response could have been, God knows my heart. The only thing we have right in that statement is God does know our heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. But it does not mean he approved of that heart. Those in the world may think that is enough to be pleasing to God, but as Christians, let us remember what Romans 12:2 states. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are supposed to know our Bibles to be able to find out what God's will is for us. So do we have enough knowledge by our standards to not be led astray by false doctrine? Let's look at John 10, 27 through 29. John 10, 27 through 29. Here, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Let's look at the second parts of these verses, 28 and 29. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. That should give us comfort to know this, Because nobody can snatch us away, but we choose to leave when we allow ourselves to be led astray by false doctrine and not staying true to God's word. Are we the ones that making it easy to be led astray when we try to do the bare minimum in our Christianity? When we think we are just doing enough by our standards? Because of our lack of knowledge in God's word, it will lead to our destruction, Hosea 4:6. Also brings up the question with the lack of knowledge in God's word, how do we know it's Jesus' voice, not the voice of a false teacher we are listening to? We need to know our Bibles to prevent us from being led astray. Let God guide us, not man's opinion. It is up to us with how much we are willing to learn of God's word. Are you content with just enough to know the bare minimum of the scriptures, or are you fully committed to God to find out what his will is for us? For God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. And there are times when doing enough is okay, like when you're trying to teach another the gospel and arguments arise. It will happen. So sometimes it is enough to plant the seed of the gospel that later on another may come and water the seed you've already planted. But if we continue to argue with them, we can cause them to harden our hearts and make it harder for another one from the Lord's church to reach them. And the important thing is God will give the increase. We do our job by teaching them the gospel, and our Heavenly Father will give the increase. But what is not enough is being a Sunday Christian. This is somebody who only acts as a Christian on Sundays only. This will not ever be enough. Being a Christian is a daily choice we make 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are to carry our cross every day, and we do not take vacation days from being a Christian. There are no weekends off. We are to serve our God daily. When we all made our decision to put on Christ on in baptism, we agreed to carry our cross daily. We live for Christ, we put the old man off to put Christ on every day. And Matthew 16:24-27 tells us, He who does not take up his cross and follow after Jesus will lose his life to this world. But he who does his will save his life from this world. And when Jesus returns in his glory, he will receive his reward according to his works. What are our works out there in the world, outside this building? Should we be ashamed to call ourselves a Christian because the way we conduct ourselves around others? And by others, I mean our friends, family members, strangers, and for some of us, our children. Do they see us lie to others, use bad language, drinking alcoholic beverages, or talking ill behind others' backs? Or is it the opposite? They always see us being honest, never hearing us use a bad word, always being in the right frame of mind and seeing us stop and taking no part in tearing down another person. When I see this person, I know they are a God-fearing individual. So what will your reward be, heaven or hell? In hell, you will not have any vacation days or weekends off. There will be no rest from the everlasting torment. But heaven will be a paradise that never ends, and you'll never want it to. And with rewards in mind, does it matter how we respond to God? Can you recall in Acts 9:6 when Paul has encountered Jesus and is blinded on the way to Damascus? He asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? How many of us would have asked the same question or said nothing in response? How many of us would have just listened and done nothing else? It is not enough to just listen and do nothing. Of course not.
Sorry.
James 1:22 tells us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. What if Paul thought it was enough to just listen and do nothing else after hearing that Jesus was the Christ? He probably would remain blind physically, but he would remain blind spiritually also. It does matter how we respond to our God. It is not enough to just believe, for even the demons believe, James 2:19. But the faithful are the obedient, like Paul here asking, what do you want me to do? Or like Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:10, speak for your servant hears. When they heard what they had to do, they did it. Are you willing to do what the Lord says? For when we go to our Bibles, we should still have the same question. What do you want me to do? Read long enough and God's word will tell you. This will help us not to settle for what we think is enough, but to do what pleases God for our standard of enough. Let us have a spirit like Caleb, who found favor in the sight of God at the age of 40, and at the age of 85 was still ready to claim the promise that was made to him when he left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. Keeping this in mind, turn with me to Luke 6:46-49. Luke 6:46-49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears these sayings of my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. That is the word of God. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it. And it was founded on the rock. But when he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. The ruin of that house was great. This is a parable of a man who built his whole built his house on the whole counsel of God, and another man who did not build his house on the whole counsel of God. When we pick which scriptures in the Bible to choose to follow, we lack the whole counsel of God. And this is the same things that denominations do. And Christ's church is not a denomination. So what foundation have you built your house on? God's word or man's opinion? In verse 46, Jesus is telling us God's view on enough. When he says, "Don't bother calling me Lord, Lord, Master, Master, if you are not going to obey my words." There is another part of scripture that can help us with this concept. In Matthew 15, 8 through 9. Matthew 15, 8 through 9. "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men. Do we profess to know God, but in works we deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work?" Titus 1:16. We better mean it when we say, "Lord," that is not empty words, that we are not saying it in vain, and that our actions reflect our words. Now to verse 47, Jesus is telling us, "Whoever is obedient to my words, young or old, whom they are like," in the next verse. These individuals who dug deep, put in the work, did not settle for the milk of the scriptures, but hungered for the meat of God's word. These are the ones who were not going to settle for building their house, their lives on nothing less than the whole counsel of God's word. We see whoever hears these sayings of Jesus and does them, these are the ones to be in the parable, not only a hearer, a listener, but also a doer of what Jesus has told us to do. These are those who already put into practice in their lives to be obedient and pleasing to God, from what they have studied and learned from their Bibles, not picking and choosing which commandments they like better to fit their lifestyle, but have valued God's word over everything. It has the power to give us eternal life. God's word leads us to salvation. And these are the ones that believe and understand that. So when the trials of tribulation arise, are you better situated to deal with them? When the flood of tribulation rises against you, you will have the faith in God's word that you have already built your life on to guide you through these trials, and you will not be moved. You will know and understand God is with those who are faithful, and that God will comfort those that belong to him. I have assurance of this because of what 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. That is not sometimes, not many, but in all our tribulation, God comforts us." Let's continue on. "That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. These are those who followed God, not with a mindset of enough, but with a mindset to wholeheartedly to do his will. These are wise men who built their house on the rock, God's word. And just how God comforts us, Christians should have the same mindset. We are to be imitators of God like dear children," Ephesians 5:1. And on a side note, if you are facing tribulations, go to your elders, go to your brethren. This is not weakness, you are being wise. And as you see in God's word, we are to comfort one another. And I can tell you, reach out and God's children will show up. Verse 49 mentions the ones who also heard the saying of Jesus, but did not do what our Lord had said to do. These could be the ones that only are Christians on Sunday, or could these be the ones that think, "I do enough, I do more than others"? The thing is, your salvation is not dependent on what others do, but what you do, Philippians 2:12. So when you want to build your house out there in the world, and not on God's word, the flood of tribulation will tear your house down. Then are you blaming God, or will you notice that your faith is lacking and is built on the wrong foundation? Just because you are in the building does not mean you are in the body. When we come out of our watery grave, that's not just it. We are not finished. Our work is just beginning. And we need to be like the wise man who did not settle for just any foundation. He knew it was not enough to just hear the word of God, but also to do the will of our Heavenly Father. And look at the house of the man who only listened but did not obey. These could be the ones that do the bare minimum, and great will be their fall. It was not built on a foundation that would last. Both heard the word of God, but one did his best to follow God's word, while the other might have thought, I did enough. But by whose standards? How often do we hear from those out in the world say, my preacher says this, but what does the word of God have to say? That's what matters. God's word holds the words of eternal life that we need, John 6:68. In Matthew 17:5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, God corrected Peter. It is not enough to give praise to how we think, but we must be obedient to the one that has the authority to tell us how we are to praise, worship, and conduct ourselves as a Christian. God tells Peter, James, and John to listen to my beloved son. God is telling them to listen to my son. Whatever he tells you to do, do it, because he has my authority. We are to listen to God's word. We are to listen to words of Jesus Christ, not man. If you can't find what they're saying in the Bible, might as well treat it as chaff blowing in the wind. It's good for nothing. In John 6:68, we know Jesus has the words of eternal life that is recorded in our Bibles. And our Bibles help us to find out what is acceptable to the Lord, Ephesians 5:10. As we know in John 12:48, what Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. It is not enough to know God's word if we are not obedient to his word. You want to know how God views enough? Go with me to 1 John 2:4 through 5. 1 John 2:4 through 5. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So are we to satisfy our desires or fear God and keep his commandments? For this is man's all. Ecclesiastes 12:13. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. Let us go back to the example of Caleb. For God states that Caleb fully followed him in Numbers 14:24. Can God say the same thing about us? For this reason, it is valuable for us to look at the danger of the mindset of enough. Can we or do we actually think we can do enough for God? How do we develop a mindset of, I do enough? Could it be from being out in the world for long periods of time, being influenced by those who only have cares for the riches of this world? That's a problem when we let ourselves stay out in the world too long. It allows Satan and his ministers to influence the way we live and the way we think. Instead of having God's word influence our actions and our lives, do you all recall the story of the 12 spies that went out to spy out the land of Canaan? In Numbers 13:17 through 33, we are told of their quest and the report they gave the congregation. Remember, God told them to spy out the land that he was giving them, not to see if they stood a chance against the people. Caleb and Joshua had faith in God and gave a good report. But because of the bad report of the other 10 spies, they were able to influence the congregation of Israel. Even the tribes that Caleb and Joshua belonged to were influenced by this bad report. So who or what is influencing our mindset today? Is it God? Is it the world? Is it the music we listen to? Is it the movies or TV shows we watch? What is getting the majority of our time to influence us? It amazes me that it was the generation of the Israelites that saw the wonders and miracles that God had performed in their sight in Egypt. But because of the words of 10 men, they doubted God. Sadly, there are a lot more than 10 out in the world today trying to get us to doubt our God. So who are we going to let influence our mind, God or man? Jeremiah 10:23 tells us, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. But man has a hard time realizing this, and some try to find loopholes in our Bibles, while others try adding or subtracting from God's word. Why is it not enough to just be obedient to our Heavenly Father? Can we follow God fully like Caleb did in Numbers chapter 14? Even when the multitudes were against the way he was, he did not let them influence his mind, for he trusted in God. For it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalms 118:8. Be careful who you put your confidence in, because it cost the generation of Israel the promised land. And with this in mind, why are so many influenced by the world? Could it be because of their lack of knowledge, spiritual growth? Do we have friends in our lives that hinder us from growing, that are of the world? Are they influencing us more than we are influencing them? This could affect our mindset and could cause us to go right back into the world that we left. Brethren, how many brothers and sisters have we lost because of this? We are to set our minds on growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Are we growing spiritually, or do we feel it is still enough to be a babe in Christ several years into our Christianity? This will affect our view on what we think or know as a standard for a Christian. Because of our lack of knowledge, please go with me to 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. Paul is here addressing those who have not grown, those who are still worldly. That's what he means by he could not speak to them as spiritual people, but as to carnal, which is worldly, because they had not grown. And because of that, he could not teach them the deeper meanings of the scriptures, for they would lack the understanding. It's like trying to explain to somebody all the rules to a sport they have never played, watched, or practiced. It's not enough to just go over it once and think that they will understand everything about that sport. It is going to be difficult to understand everything that's going on. But over time, you will learn and understand each time you put into practice learning more of that sport. It's the same thing with our Bibles. It's not enough for us to just listen to our preacher to tell us what's in our Bibles for us to grow. But we have to put into the practice an effort into studying God's Word. And in doing so, our mindset should change from wanting to do the bare minimum of God's Word to doing what it takes to please God. It's a good thing our Bibles are mobile and can go with us anywhere we go. Another thing our Bibles can also be open on other days besides Sundays and Wednesdays, which is helpful for us to study God's Word every day of the week. And in doing so, we will learn to let God guide us in this life. Just like in Psalm 119:133, direct my steps by your word and let no inequity have dominion over me. This will happen when we stay in God's word. Again, are we following God wholeheartedly or just enough by man's standards? Are we more likely to hear the words of good and Are we more likely to hear the words of well done, good and faithful servant, like in the parable of the talents, when we do our best for our God? Or do we do what we think is good enough for God and take the chance of hearing, cast the unprofitable servant out into outer darkness? Do we really want to walk that thin line of, I think I do enough for God? God has drawn a line between being saved or sinners, holy or worldly, heaven or hell. When you put it in that perspective, why would we even want to be by that line? We should turn our backs to that line, walk in the opposite direction, and never look back. Continue towards God's ways and look forward to the promise that we will receive for being obedient to his word. We are to have an active working faith. James 2:26 tells us, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Remember when Jesus came to an unproductive fig tree in Matthew chapter 21 and in Mark chapter 11? From a distance, the fig tree must have given the impression of producing fruit. But when Jesus came closer and seen the fig tree had just done enough to have the appearance of giving fruit and not actually producing any, he cursed it when he saw the tree not producing any fruit. What do you think he will do to a Christian that thinks he is just doing enough and not growing and not producing fruit for the kingdom? Think of this. Think of our Savior Jesus Christ had the mindset of enough and thought he had just done enough before going to the cross. Would we have our salvation today? Because there was nothing easy about going to the cross. We don't have to worry about that question because he was only interested in doing the Father's will. As we read about in Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, and Luke chapter 22, these all take place in the Garden of Gethsemane leading up to the cross. Always remember there was nothing easy about our Lord going to the cross. Do we show appreciation for his sacrifice? Jesus commands us to tell everybody the good news, the gospel, for what he has done for us and for those who are still out in the world. And on Judgment Day, they cannot say, "You never told me about Jesus." Also, we are not to settle with just doing enough. The price for our salvation is a debt we can never pay. But our Lord wants us to do our best to follow his commands, pick each other up when we stumble, and continue down the narrow path. We are to be imitators of Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1. We are to be the light of the world, just like in the beginning in Genesis 1:3. God created light and said it was good, not enough, but good. We are also to be a light to the world and divide from darkness. Brethren, are we telling others about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are we encouraging one another? Are we helping each other grow in the knowledge of our Lord? Having Bible studies with one another, going door knocking. Are we volunteering to teach Bible classes for the infants, toddlers, elementary, middle age, high schoolers, or even the adult class? And trust me, you will grow in the knowledge of our Lord doing this. Are we teaching new converts, helping young married couples, helping set up for gospel meetings, vacation Bible school, or is the mindset, "I do enough by just showing up and sitting in my pew"? I tell you, that's good enough for Satan. That's the mindset he wants you to have. How many lives of his are we still listening today? All he has to do is add a word. Look at the word he added when he was talking to Eve in the garden about the knowledge of good and evil, about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 2:16 through 17, this is where God had said, "For in this day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And in Genesis 3:2-4 is where we can see what the serpent had said to Eve. All Satan did was add not to what God had said. "You will not surely die." That was enough to convince her to eat from the tree. It is not enough to just know our Bibles, because Eve was in the garden with God, could speak to God and know God. We can know every verse in our Bible, and it will mean nothing if we are not obedient to God's commandments. Satan has been a liar from the beginning. So what other lies is Satan and his ministers having us believe today? That it is not enough to go anywhere that calls himself a church. It is enough to just listen to the preacher and not open our Bibles. It is enough to just sit in our pews and do nothing else. How about this one? You go to church all the time. It's okay to miss this Sunday for that sporting event, movie, concert, somebody's birthday party, graduation, or a family event instead of coming to church. Satan is going to tell you, "Go ahead, you do enough for God already." We need to be careful whose words we are going to let influence our mindset. Is it God or man? One's going to lead us to heaven and the other is going to lead us to hell. What are you going to set your mind on, man's ways or God's way? Now I want us to look back at Caleb once again. I want to talk about Caleb from Joshua's chapter 14, 6 through 15. Caleb at age 85 years old was still ready for war. At 85 years old was still ready to claim the inheritance instead of saying, "I have done enough." He continued with the mindset to push forward for his reward. We should all strive to do our part in the kingdom from the day we leave our watery grave. For some of us, that could be at the ages of 14, 15, 18, 22, 32, or even past the age of 50. And we do not stop till our last breath in this life or till Judgment Day, whichever comes first. We may not be fighting in any physical wars at the age of 85, but we can still help in the spiritual war we are having today. One of the many things our elderly members do that they may not think as much, but is inspire us by not missing Sunday morning or evening worship, and being here on Wednesday nights when so many find excuses not to be here. Yet the elderly members find ways to be here, and that encourages me and others. Thank you. Do you have a spirit like Caleb who followed God fully? That is stated in Numbers 14:24. This does not mean he gave the bare minimum or when it was convenient for him to give time to God. This man fully followed God, and God knows his heart, 1 Samuel 16:7, and he approves of this one. Because it's also stated in God's word that he wholly, completely followed God in Numbers 32:12. This does not mean he picked and chose which commandments he would like to follow. Caleb had a mindset that was focused on God. Again, it is stated that Caleb wholly followed God in Deuteronomy 1:36. This means his heart and his actions and his words reflected his commitment to God. Even at an old age, he was still ready to serve our God. And I know at an old age, we cannot do what Caleb was doing. But you can share the wisdom you have gained from God's word with the younger generation. And tonight, you can also go to your elders, deacons, and preacher and thank them for their service, for what they have done for this congregation. And three more times it is stated that Caleb wholly followed God, our God. In Joshua chapter 14, verses 8, 9, and 14, this man faced tribulation and had faith in God. The patience he must have had, he had to wait 40 years for the promised land. Some of us get angry waiting in traffic for 30 minutes. He had to wait 40 years. Read about the Israelites wandering in the wilderness and all the plagues he had to go through because they were disobedient, but he endured. And we can do the same when we let God guide us in this life. Caleb is a man that we can see trusted in what God had said in Numbers 14:24, that God would bring Caleb into the land where he went and his descendants shall inherit it. Caleb did not let obstacles stop him from taking his reward. He was not going to settle for enough, but he was willing to work for it, and he did not have doubt in God. Because of that, he chose a mountain full of giants. How many of us are willing to face hard difficulties with God, or are we always looking for the easy challenges? We will never be able to overcome if we do not face the giants that stand in our way. We will never be able to overcome the giants that stand in our way if we are only looking to God on Sundays and Wednesdays. God is with those who are faithful and who are wholeheartedly seeking him every day. Caleb drew courage in knowing that God was with him and no giants were going to stand in his way. And because of that, he was obedient and trusted in God, and he was able to claim his reward. And we can do the same if we trust and obey our God and not settle with doing the bare minimum in our Christianity. And in doing so, no giants will be able to stand in our way for us to receive our reward. What we do in this life matters. Go with me to Revelations 14, 12 through 13. Revelations 12 through 13. 14, 12 through 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors and their works follow them. The works we do in this lifetime will follow us. Were we always trying to do just enough? Or were we always giving our best? It is not how we start this life, but how we finish. God never tells us what enough is, therefore we can never do enough. This is my lesson, all glory to God. If you want to become a child of God, we must first hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe in Jesus, John 8:24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We must repent, change our ways, Luke 13:3-5. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We must confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Then you must be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We must live faithfully for the rest of our lives on this earth. Revelations 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And if anyone needs prayers, needs to be restored, or wants to put Christ on in baptism, please come forward as we stand and sing.